All right, this afternoon, I would like to read Psalms 121. So if you'll turn in your Bibles to Psalms 121, we'll read our scripture for the afternoon. I will lift up my eyes into the hills, from hence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which make heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber or sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy going in from this day forward and for evermore. This afternoon, we want to look at Psalms 121. In the last few weeks, I've been thinking more and more in this line of a devotion. And that's what I'd like to speak to you about this afternoon. In this particular passage of Scripture, it speaks to my heart. Because in this society that we're now living in, and the news and the way that it seems like our minds and hearts are trying to be governed, it appears that everyone outside of the Lord is in charge of our thinking and our life. There is no happiness in this life apart from a dedication to the will and the purpose of Almighty God. And in this psalm, the psalmist David is telling us in the very first line, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills from hence cometh my help. When we can acknowledge within our hearts and souls that without God, without His help, I can do nothing. We can try all of the other instruments in this world, but in the end, we will have to acknowledge that it is God, and it is God alone that is our stay. There are four things that David said to us in the very first two verses. He says, first of all, to us, we stay ourselves upon God as the God of power and the God of all sufficiency. This is the key right here for the rest of the entire chapter. David is not saying, shall I lift my eyes to the hills? In saying that, in that tone of voice, it is not that we look to the hills, to the mountains. It does not say that we should look to something that is substantial, that we should look to a government, that we should look to any other aspect at all, other than to God Himself. In this day, we are distracted. We are continually distracted from the purpose of Almighty God. Sufficiency is with God. Sufficiency is not with our employer. Sufficiency is not within our government bodies. But sufficiency is with our Lord Jesus Christ. David says, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills. David was looking from the heart out, not from the outside in. He was looking from his soul. He was looking for the strength of his own heart and soul. He knew that the strength was there, and that strength calls out to Almighty God. I'm just thinking now, all the things that we reach out to in this life, A husband should certainly reach out to his wife. And a wife should certainly reach out to her husband. And families unite together and they kind of hold themselves together. But all of those reaching out is not the type of reaching out that David is speaking of. He is looking at the very point of help and strength, and that is with God. We must see all of our help laid upon God. We cannot lay any strength apart from Almighty God Himself, from His power and His goodness, His providence and His grace, and from Him we must expect it to come. If we have any other avenue in life, humanly, we're going to reach for it. As we all are getting a little bit older in life, most of you have your best foot, your best leg, and you'll lead out on that leg every time because your confidence is in that leg. The first step, maybe it's your right, maybe it's your left, but you're gonna lead out on it. What I'm saying to you today, our strength cometh from the Lord. Our strength cometh from the heel of Almighty God. So why? Why are we so prevalent? Why are we so adamant about looking at the confidence of man rather than the confidence of Almighty God? My help cometh from the Lord. We must find help with God by faith and His promise in due regard to all of His institutions. He said again, I will lift up my eyes to the hills. What would David say? What would David be thinking when he was talking about, again, lifting up his eyes to the hills? I feel like he's talking about the hill of Zion. I feel like he's probably talking about Mount Moriah. I'm thinking that he might be thinking about the hill where the covenant of God was. A Jew, David being a Jew, a believer in Jehovah God, his hope, his faith was based on an institution of coming of his Lord and Savior. Mount Moriah is the most sacred place in all of the Bible. That is the place where the temple was going to be built. That was the place where God visited with His people. That's where the Spirit of Almighty God came down and was visible unto the people. They were trained. Their hope was in Mount Moriah. Their desire was that holy hill of Zion. And now I'm laboring. I'm laboring to turn our minds and hearts from a hill, from a place of the past, to a time of the present. The hill of God, Mount Moriah, where the articles of God was only a place. It was dirt, just like the dirt outside of this sanctuary. The dirt was never sanctified in itself. It was what took place upon that particular place. David's true desire was toward Mount Moriah, where something was going to take place that gave him the greatest hope and confidence of his life. And maybe that's true. Maybe that's true of each and every one of you today. Is your hope fastened upon your employment? Is your hope fastened upon this crumbling government that we have, that we see just crumbling each day? Or can we, as David would do, look to the hill of God? Look, put his eyes upon the hill of God, the purpose of God. And that purpose is the will and purpose of our Lord Jesus Christ, of dying for our sins. So much today that we look to that has little or no value whatsoever. We are to be encouraged in the confidence of God that He made heaven and in earth. When we think about our Lord, our God, speaking the world into existence, what power is in just a few words of God uttering a few words and bringing the world into existence? He who made that can do anything. If God can speak the world into existence, can He not speak life and peace in your own heart? The difficulties that we all face, and in this congregation there are so many different families, including mine, we all have problems and difficulties. All of our problems and difficulties can be made level and plain by the will and the purpose of God and hope and allowing God to work in our lives to render those things well. And then secondly, in those reminding verses, the comforting ourselves in God when our difficulties and dangers comes upon us, that our safety is in His protection. All of our purpose today as we go to work, as we listen to the radio or our television, our news reports, it would seem like we are always under the domination of something other than Almighty God. The truth is that God's mercy and His protection is about His people. God Himself has undertaken to be our protector. God has not given this position to any other person other than Himself. It is God who protects His people. The same that is the protector of the church is in general is engaged in the preservation of every particular believer. You think about God protecting Israel, going through 40 years in the wilderness, God providing for them on a daily basis, and yet if God did that, and God took care of Israel, God is also taking care of each individual of that journey. He is taking care of each one of us as an individual. Not that we all have the grace of God. The church has the grace of God upon it. God has His will and purpose. But until we can feel the presence of Almighty God in our lives, directing our lives, and where we find the confidence of God within ourselves, the Spirit of God, there we find our great confidence. He is the wakeful and watchful keeper. He is the one, the Scripture says, that neither slumbers nor sleeps. He's the one that is always about us, protecting us throughout every journey. I have a friend, and he's in St. Petersburg, Russia, this morning. I got a message from him. He's traveling, and he's on a cruise ship. And so far away, his protection is not in that cruise ship. His protection is not in an army, but his protection is in Almighty God. To be so far away, but yet he is so near, because the same love and mercy of God is with him there as he would here in the States. He is not only our protector of those whom he is the keeper of, but he is the refresher of them. It's not that God just protects us, but it is God that gives us the peace that passeth understanding. He uses the phrase here in our scripture that He is our shade. He is our shade. This last week or so, I was in a place, and this man and his father runs this business, and the younger man told his father, "Dad, get into the shade." And I remembered him saying that our God is truly our shade. They tell us how much cooler it is in the shade than outside in the broad sun. What I'm saying to you is this. In this life, the sun does beat down upon us, and it is God that is our shade. He is our protector. Anything that comes upon us, it is God that protects us. He is also near his people for their protection and refreshment, and never at a distance. God is as close as our heart is. How close is your heart? Not that far away. God is always about his people, protecting his people, guiding his people. When we have our health issues, we ask our God, we ask our Lord that if he would be merciful to us at a time, maybe at an operation. We ask God before we leave home so often that if he would protect us on our journey. And going on a long journey, we ask God to have mercy upon us. He is ever near his people. He is not only at the right hand of his people, but he will keep the foot of the saints. We think so often, once we have come to know our Lord Jesus Christ, once we have come to know him, we study his word, we feel somewhat with confidence, but it only takes a moment for our confidence to be eroded. And we start back from the very beginning again, knowing that all of our protection and care is upon our Lord Jesus Christ. It uses that phrase in verse 6 about the sun shall not smite thee with the heat and by day, nor the moon with her cold or mars at night. In this particular place where David was in the daytime, it would be quite hot, over 100, probably 120 degrees, but at night the temperature would grow very cold. So the scripture is used here to tell us that he has comforted us from the sun and from the moon. Throughout each day, we have difficulties that God is our protector. In the night, we have our Heavenly Father protecting us throughout the night. Through the cool of the night, in the heat of the day, regardless of the difficulties that come upon us, it is God himself that protects us in every way. So often, we may find ourselves sufficient. We ask each other sometimes, well, how are you today? Well, the answer may be, well, I'm doing fairly well today. I'm doing a little better than yesterday. Well, all of our care, whether it's morning, noon, or night, has to do with our Heavenly Father and his protection of us. Our health is in his hands. Our health continues to be in the hand of Almighty God, whether it be according to the scripture of the day or the night, whether it be in the temptations of life in the day or the temptations of life at night, he is our keeper. He is the one that protects us. Like in the Old Testament, that our Lord, that God protected the children of Israel with a pillar of cloud by day. That pillar of cloud protected them from the burning heat. Can you imagine all the thousands of people traveling and no air conditioning, no fans, just going day after day after day in burning heat? It was a miracle. It's a miracle. God provided such a miracle of protecting them. But at night, he warmed them through a great furnace of heat by fire at night. I don't know where your difficulties lie. And these terms of it's just like talking about the heat of the day and the cool of the night. I'm trying to make a point that regardless of what our difficulty may be, he is there protecting us with everything that comes about. His protection will make them safe in every aspect. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. But someone might say, but I'm already a Christian. I don't have to be too concerned about the evil that you speak of. I never knew what evil was. I never knew what temptation was until I came to know Him. Maybe you're like that too. I'm very concerned about this night. I'm very concerned about tomorrow. I'm looking for God Himself to protect me and to guide me and to deliver me from temptation in this hour and the hours to come throughout this day. He is truly the protector and preserves us from all evil. It is a spiritual life, especially, that God will give, will take under His protection. He shall preserve thy soul. He shall preserve thy soul. Now, how are we to see this? How are we to believe in this particular portion of this scripture? He shall preserve thy soul. I thought I had already become a Christian. I thought, since I've been a Christian for 30 years, that this would not apply to me. Our heart, our soul, this body, this humanity is no better than it ever was before. We are still looking for the protection of Almighty God. He is the one that keepeth our soul. He is the one that keeps us from falling even in this day. There is no faith so strong to protect you in this hour. There is no faith so strong to protect you in the next temptation that God will send your way. He will keep us in all of His ways. He shall preserve thy going out and our going in. Is this comforting to you this afternoon? Knowing, as David has said, He shall preserve thy going out and going in. Many of us, we talk privately about concerns that we have in this life. Things that we do and we things that we don't ever do again. It is our Heavenly Father that protects us in all of our goings. Whether goings ins and our goings outs, it is God that lifts us up and protects us in all of our ways. He will continue His care over us through this time, forth and forevermore. Forevermore. You know, as I look at you, I see children 5 years old. I see those of us who are much older than five. We are concerned about that word forevermore. This time forth and forevermore. We are looking to God. We're looking to Christ. We're looking to God for His continual protection till this time forth and forevermore. He is our protector. He is the one that is the desire of our heart. He is the one that we truly look at, look forward to, and shall in a coming day be protected even at His very side in heaven. May God bless you today as we read this passage in Psalms 121. May God bless you.